All right, I don't even know what to say right now. That's not the game show music, Carlo. That is not the game show music. Can we do a game? Can we even do a game show now? We started the game show. I put a hoodie on because I know John, he's going to let me wear a hoodie. It's okay. I can wear a hoodie for the game show. And then you played regular music and it scared me. Darren, is this a game show or not?
It is the game show.
It is. You just, all right, that's... If you let
he told me before the show that his brain's just not here today.
Father of four,
he's just such an awesome dad. He's staying up all night taking care of those kids.
He stays up every night with those kids. I don't know what they're terrible children, aren't they? They're just wearing him out. The youngest is how old now? About 2 months. 2 months old. Yeah. So
So that's excusable, man. That we do not have to harp on him for that one.
All right. If Carlos says it's excusable, but I want Nick back. All right. I'm not going to give out the phone number. We're going to play the game show. The way the game show works, we have two contestants here who are going to play, but we'd like you to play along at home as well. If you're driving, be very careful because the game show can get extremely exciting and we don't want anybody to get hurt. If you're at home, I hope you have a pencil and a piece of paper. I hope you have called grandma and grandpa, gathered the kids together, and you are ready to play because it is time for the Catholic Answers game show. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Carlo is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of a whole bunch of stuff. He was just on the last hour, so I don't know how much more I have to introduce him. Thanks for being here with us, Carlo.
Sorry, thanks for having me, brother. And for our listeners out there who cannot see you right now, you look like you're ready to go train with Mick. Yo, Mick.
That's right. I have my gray sweatshirt on. I just feel like a game show, I get to be loose and do whatever I want.
It's like apologetics training, man. Like Tim and Tim Staples and I, we always call our research sessions together in the gym. So you're like in the gym studying, getting ready for the faith.
Yeah, I was on an airplane with the two of you from San Diego to Florida. I know what it's like when the two of you are in the gym. I was like, please, Lord, make it stop. I can't take any more apologetics. I'm only kidding, Carlo.
You better be kidding.
I don't want you to be hurt by that. All right, so let's introduce our two guests. Then we'll very quickly run through the rules, and then we will get on to playing the game show. Our first guest is Lisa. Lisa, are you there with us?
I am.
And Lisa, where are you and what's interesting about you?
Well, I live in Greene County, Tennessee. I'm a wife of 32 years, mother of two wonderful sons who are married to two beautiful daughter-in-laws. And the most interesting thing about where we live is we live up just a few miles from the birthplace of Davy Crockett.
All right.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, Lisa, thank you for all of that. I'm so glad to have you. You will be, by the way, contestant one. It's just accidental who we pick for contestant one and contestant two, and it has no effect on the game unless we are tied after two rounds, in which I will ask you, Lisa, to pick box A or B, and then that will tell us who's going on to the final round. Also on the line, contestant number two, John. John, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, John, where are you and what's interesting about you?
I'm in Owensboro, Kentucky, which is the capital of bluegrass music, believe it or not. Listen on WIMM here in town, and I've been married for almost 20 years and the father of two 16-year-old girls.
Do you play bluegrass music?
No, I don't, but I helped put concerts on several years ago.
Have you ever heard of Flat and Scruggs?
Absolutely.
Okay. He doesn't know his bluegrass if he's never heard of Flat and Scruggs. You know, Carlo's a musician. Carlo is accomplished on several instruments, but most especially on the Cajun accordion. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, all right. Cool. Maybe he's seen you playing on our Facebook page. All right, I'm going to go over the rules, Lisa and John, real quick, and then we will commence. The rules are as follows. There are three rounds in the Catholic Answers game show. The first two rounds are made up of three questions for each contestant, all multiple choice questions. After those first two rounds, we will add up the score, and whoever has the highest score goes on to final judgment, unless we are tied. In which case, we will have Lisa pick from the two boxes, and then we'll see who goes on to final judgment. If you do not go on to final judgment, that's called losing, right? We call that losing. Is maybe that too harsh?
Maybe the first death instead of the second death.
That's from our last hour. Okay, so yeah, so one of you will go on to final judgment. I hope you are prepared for final judgment because it is seven difficult true or false questions. All the rules clear so far, Lisa and John?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So the last couple rules. In rounds one and two, you will each get an eternal lifeline. And the way the eternal lifeline works is if you get stuck on a question or you're not sure about a question or you just want to torment Carlo, you can say, Carlo, give me a lifeline. There are two of them. One of them, you can ask Carlo to take away one of the wrong answers, and that will leave you with a 50-50. The other one, you can just ask Carlo to give you the correct answer, and he will. Once you have used a lifeline, it is gone, and you cannot save your lifelines until the final round. Is that all clear?
Yes.
Yes.
All righty. Is there anything else I need to say before we go on, Lisa or John?
Not that I know of.
No.
Oh, there is. There's one more thing. On this game show, when you ask Carlo to give you the correct answer, he will give it to you, but he will give it to you in Pig Latin. He is required to speak Pig Latin. So preferably give that to him on when there's a really long answer. All right.
Hey, man, I've been studying real Latin lately, so I got my A's going on here.
All right.
And so I've been practicing, brother.
All right.
I am ready.
All right, Lisa and John, we're ready to play. If you're ready to play, here we go. Lisa, your first question. Well, you know what? I should probably find the actual game show notes here. I got them here. All right, Lisa, first question for you. By the way, I will read the questions twice. Please let me read them twice because lots of families are playing at home with grandma and grandpa and the kids gathered around. There's lots of shouting and joy and fun
and
merriment.
Is mom and dad playing too?
Mom and dad.
Okay.
Are. Dad's not feeling so good about it, but he's good. Okay, he's trying to help out. He doesn't like it. He'd rather be watching the Knicks playing right now. But all right, round one. During Lent, as we fast and pray... No, sorry. Already, I made a mistake in reading. Lisa, during Lent, we fast and pray. In the Gospels, Jesus teaches that fasting, A, is something we should do every Lent. B, is something we should undertake before confessing our sins. Or C, is something that is sometimes needed to drive out demons. Lisa, let me read that again. During Lent, we fast and pray. In the Gospels, Jesus teaches that fasting is A, something that we should do every Lent. B, something that we should undertake before confessing our sins. Or C, something that is sometimes needed to drive out demons.
I believe that would be C.
That is correctamundo.
That is correctamundo. Jesus never mentioned Lent, first of all.
Mark 9:29, that's where we read how Jesus is talking to the apostles. The apostles ask Jesus, Lord, there's this demon we haven't been able to cast out. What's going on here? And Jesus says, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting.
All right, you are one for one, Lisa. Your first question, John, is as follows. During Lent, we give alms to the poor. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that giving alms to the poor is a work of A, justice, B, charity, or C, both justice and charity. Once again, during Lent, we give alms to the poor. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that giving alms to the poor is a work of A, justice.
Alone.
B, charity.
Alone.
Or C, both justice and charity.
I'll say C.
Good job, John. Good choice. I wanted to make sure and throw in that word alone there because... Well, justice, yes. Yeah. Charity, yes. But justice alone, no. Charity alone, no. Both justice and charity. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches this in paragraph 2447. The chief witnesses to fraternal charity, among all these, giving alms to the poor is one of the chief witnesses to fraternal charity. It is also a work of justice pleasing to God. So it is both a work of charity or love and a work of justice, because we're giving them what is due to them and helping them in their need.
Hey, we're tied up after the first two questions, but we are still in the midst of round one. We have to take a very quick break. We will be right back to continue the Catholic Answers game show, and I bet we're going to have the right music when we come back with our guests, our contestants, Lisa and John, right after this.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Prayer changes everything. We read in sacred scripture that when we come to God in prayer, He changes our lot. It isn't so much that the circumstances change, it is that we change, and therefore we see the circumstances differently. Prayer does everything for us. It is indeed the air that fills our soul, just as the oxygen fills our lungs. We can't do without prayer. To do without prayer means we languish and we die. God wants us to have life and to have it to the full.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host, and that was game show music right
there. Yeah, baby.
That makes
you
me
got
feel
it.
I'm in the game show mood now. Papa of four. On the line, Lisa and John, both contestants in our game show. We are tied up right now. Our special celebrity guest is Carla Broussard, and we go to question two of round one for Lisa. Lisa, let me say it twice just for those who are playing at home. The church teaches that personal sin, A, is always deadly to the soul, B, is not as bad as mortal sin, or C, is only sometimes deadly to the soul. Lisa, once again, the church teaches that personal sin, A, is always deadly to the soul, B, is not as bad as mortal sin, or C, is only sometimes deadly to the soul.
I believe I'd like to use the 50-50 lifeline on this one.
50-50, Carla. What are you going to take out?
All right. I'm going to take out B, is not as bad as mortal sin.
Okay. So the church teaches that personal sin is A, always deadly to the soul, or B, only sometimes deadly to the soul.
You took away B, right?
I took away B.
He took away B, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I want to say C then.
Good job.
Nice.
Amen. Yeah, because if you would say always deadly to the soul, well, then that would exclude venial sin.
Yeah, then it wouldn't be. Right.
That's right, because personal sin can be either have the effect of mortal guilt, where charity would no longer exist in the soul, or it can have the effect of venial guilt, where charity resides in the soul but just wounded. And the Catechism gives a great succinct articulation of the difference between mortal and venial sin and their effects in paragraphs 1855 to about 1857.
Great job, Lisa. You're rolling. Here's your second question of round one, John. In the first chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus told people to blank and believe in the gospel. Is it have faith, A, or B, repent, or C, be baptized? In the first chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus told people to blank and believe in the gospel. A, have faith and believe in the gospel. B, repent and believe in the gospel. Or C, be baptized and believe in the gospel.
B, repent.
Good job, John. That's follow-up question. Where's that in the Bible?
Well, it says first chapter of Mark. Well, that's not a very good question. I said in the first chapter of Mark.
Duh, right? But which verse is verse 15?
But I like it because the first gospel, I think, I mean, to myself, I believe Mark is the first gospel written. And in the first chapter, here is the message that Jesus gives. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Amen. Good job, John.
Good job, John. Very good. All right. Last question of round one, and then we'll add up and see how we're doing. Lisa, your last question of round one. According to church teaching, A, Matthew's gospel...
You just call it? But
I am so annoyed with myself right now.
There is a distinction to be made. Okay, so continue.
Lisa, let me just apologize for being annoying. According to church teaching, A, Matthew's gospel was the first written. B, we can disagree about which gospel was written first. Or C, Mark's gospel was written first. Once again, according to church teaching. Church teaching, that's important. A, Matthew's gospel was written first. B, we can disagree about which gospel was written first. Or C, Mark's gospel was written first.
According to church teaching, I'm
going
to go with A.
Oh, Lisa. No. Unfortunately, that's a little bit of a tricky
question. I hope I didn't mess you up.
We can disagree about which gospel was written first. And so here's what might be a little tricky. You said, what does the church teach? Well, the church doesn't really have a teaching that we can disagree. It's simply that the church has not given us a teaching. Therefore, we can disagree and scholars can disagree on it. So that's a little bit tricky of a question. I don't know. I'll leave that.
Well, plus, I just said, like, right before it, Mark's gospel. Yeah, right.
So. You were influential in her decision making.
That was a mess. We might have to give Lisa a bonus question later if it comes down to that. I know that makes Marie mad. Marie does not like me being nice to contestants. That's just the way Marie is.
Jimmy Akin has a great article, by the way, on his website, The Synoptic Problem. If you just type in The Synoptic Problem at jimmyakin.com, it's a roundup, actually, of all the articles he's written on The Synoptic Problem, where he gives all the different hypotheses about the ordering of the Gospels and stuff.
All right, John, your last question of round one. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." In each Gospel, the next thing reported is A, the transfiguration of Jesus, B, Jesus telling the crowd that they must eat his body and drink his blood, or C, Jesus ascending into heaven. Once again, John, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." In each gospel, the next thing reported is A, the transfiguration, B, Jesus telling the crowd that they must eat his body and drink his blood, or C, Jesus ascending into heaven.
I think it's A.
Good job, John. It is A.
And why is that important that transfiguration immediately follows that prophecy, Carlo?
Well, the kingdom, within this literal historical context, Jesus is talking about the coming of the Son of Man in judgment on Jerusalem in AD 70. So when he's talking about, you know, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power, that is a case where Jesus is alluding to the impending destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So some standing there will indeed see that judgment take place. But you can also read it in the sense that Jesus is giving them hope because, you know, you have this statement and then you have the transfiguration in order to give them the hope, because after the transfiguration, he's going to go through his passion and death. Yeah. And he transfigures himself and reveals and manifests his glory to give the apostles that hope and security, knowing that in the dark times, Jesus will prevail because he's the victor.
Yeah.
And he will give us victory.
All right. The supercomputer has been calculating, and is it still working? Nope. The supercomputer has concluded its work, and we are now in this situation. John is 3-3. Lisa is 2-3. So you are one ahead, John. All right. Everybody ready for round two?
Yep.
You bet.
Oh, also, where are we on the lifelines? I guess Lisa still has her just tell me the correct answer, and then John has both lifelines.
Is that correct?
Okay, Lisa, first question from round two. Formal cooperation with grave evil, A, is not as bad as material cooperation. B, is worse than material cooperation. C, does not require that the person intends to cooperate in evil. All right, this is a tough one. Let's do it again. Formal cooperation with grave evil, A, is not as bad as material cooperation. B, is worse than material cooperation, or C, does not require that the person intends to cooperate in evil?
I believe that's B.
Very good.
Wow, no hesitation.
Amen. It is worse than material
cooperation. You must have done a lot of evil in your life because you really know that. Oh, no, wait. That's probably not what it was. But
yeah, and the reason why it's worse is because of D, right? The person intends to intends not.
Well, formal cooperation is intending the evil.
Intending the evil, right? It's not engaging in the direct activity of the evil, but intending the evil. And that's what you're getting at there with answer C. And that's why it's worse than the material cooperation, which doesn't involve the intention,
right,
but could be immoral insofar as you're providing the material stuff, knowing that the person's going to go and use that stuff directly,
right?
In order to commit that sin. And then you have the distinction between the proximate material cooperation, which is like you're working in the abortion clinic type of thing, right?
Right.
Or far distant. Or the remote material cooperation, where you have it's a far distance from it, right? The material is still being used, but you're remotely removed from the evil action. EWTN has a great little summary of the distinctions to be made concerning formal and material cooperation and the further distinctions of material cooperation.
Oh, that's good.
Moral cooperation and evil online. You can go to EWTN.com. They got a great little synopsis.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because we've been sending people, because of the COVID vaccine, right, a lot of people want to know this, to the USCCB website, which also has that. But
Oh, cool.
That's great to know. Okay, EWTN, you can go to. All right, your first question of round two, John. The Catholic Church accepts A, some of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, C, those parts of the inspired Hebrew scriptures that do not conflict with the gospel. John, once again, your question is, the Catholic Church accepts A, some of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, or C, those parts of the inspired Hebrew scriptures that do not conflict with the gospel.
There's some tricky words there. I think I need Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to eliminate C.
Okay. So it's this is what you have left, John. The Catholic Church accepts A, some of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, or B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures.
I'm going with A.
Good job. Oh, no, that's right.
No, it's not.
What?
No, B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures.
Oh, what did he say?
He said A, right?
Oh,
or did
yes.
I hear it wrong? Did he say?
He said A. Okay. John, you said A, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I said A.
Okay.
Oh, you're an honest man, John. You're an honest man.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Inspired.
Yeah, yeah. All of the Hebrew scriptures. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in paragraph 105, quoting De Verbum, section 11, Dogmatic Constitution on the Word of God from the Second Vatican Council. The Holy Mother Church, relying on the faith of the Apostolic Age, accepts as sacred and canonical the books of the Old and the New Testaments, whole and entire, with all their parts, on the grounds that, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they have God as their author. So all of the Hebrew scriptures we accept. And of course, the only way fundamentally in by which we can know what the inspired scriptures are is the infallible testimony of the church.
What got you crossed up on that one, John? You were going to say something in there crossed you up.
Yeah, it was the word inspired. So Carlo explained it quite well.
Okay. All right. Good. Gotcha. All right. Let's do your last question of round one, Lisa. Jesus said that he is A, the image of the invisible God, B, meek, or C, a lamp hidden under a bushel basket. Lisa, Jesus said that he is A, the image of the invisible God, B, meek, or C, a lamp hidden under a bushel basket.
Well, I think I need to use my final
lifeline. Oh, you're right, Lisa.
I'm going to answer this in Pig
Latin. All right, give it to us in Pig Latin. Darn it.
All right, just the one word, right?
Come on, Carlo.
Ikme.
I think you should have to give us all the answers. Okay, he said Ikme. What do you do? Does that help you?
That was C, correct? Was that C?
Meek was B, but
we got it.
B.
Yeah, you're good.
John, are you okay? I don't want to protest from John. Are you okay with that? Okay.
Okay. It's hard to memorize the letters and which one matches up
I
with which.
I thought Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
Well, he is, but St. Paul says that.
Oh, okay.
Colossians chapter 1,
and I remember
verse
something
15.
About a lamp under a bushel basket.
Yeah, Jesus said that about
us. About us. Okay,
yeah, but not about himself.
All right, so where did he say he's meek?
Matthew 11:29. Okay. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's one translation. Other translations say I am meek and humble of heart. The Greek words there can be translated either or.
All right. We're up to the last question of the last round. John, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Like, are you really ready, though? Because I'm just going to give it to you. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Oh, well, we have to take a break. I knew we were coming up on a break. That's why I was giving you a hard time, John. So you got to just relax, take it easy, meditate.
Groove with the music.
Then we're going to finish rounds one and two, and then we'll find out who is going on to their final judgment. Oh, no. We got more questions, too. All right, I messed up a little bit. I actually messed up the count. We got two more questions for John and one for Lisa when we come back. All right, it's math. I'm not good at math.
Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
To many people, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I'll give you the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of game show music. Because it's Friday. And it's game show time. Catholic Answers game show. I love it. And I kind of hate it. I hate it a little bit because it means it's Friday. And I don't get to do the show on Saturday. And I hate it when I don't get to do the show, but... It's nice to have Carlo here, Carlo Broussard, apologist here at Catholic Answers. Carlo, thanks for being back again.
Thanks for having me, Si.
I'm sorry that I can't even count and keep straight of where we are in the game show, but I appreciate you being here.
We're all over the map today, man.
We are all over the map. We're going to go right back to our questions. John has two more and Lisa has one more. Before I send you back, I do want to let you know there's a sale on the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. During Lent, and we've just been getting great reviews on the courses in the School of Apologetics. They're university-level courses on various apologetic topics, but you don't have to do university-level work. You don't have to write papers. You don't have to take tests. You don't have to hand stuff in, but you get some wonderful instruction. It includes video and audio and workbooks and all kinds of stuff. You can get a full course in the School of Apologetics for $50 off right now, whether it's Jimmy, Trent, or Tim. They've got various courses on there, and more courses coming all the time. Or you can take a mini course. And that's $10 off. Enroll today at schoolofapologetics.com. It's really cool. All right. Well, welcome back to our guests, Lisa and David. David. I don't know where David came from. Lisa and John. John, it is your second to last question of round two. John, Divine simplicity means A, God relates to us in a way that we can understand. B, God has no parts. Or C, any reasonable person can come to know God exists. John, divine simplicity means A, God relates to us in a way that we can understand. B, God has no parts. Or C, any reasonable person can come to know that God exists.
I'm going with B.
Good job, John. You know your philosophy, brother. Divine simplicity, no parts. So the Catechism quotes, in paragraph 202, the Catechism quotes the Fourth Lateran Council from 1215, listing all of the divine attributes of God. And one of them is God is, by nature, entirely simple. Now, for our listeners out there, for a little homework here, in order to get a better understanding of what the church means by this entirely simple or divine simplicity, they can read St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologiae, the first part, question 3, articles 1 through 8. And there he goes through all of the ways in which God has no parts. He's not form and matter like we are, right? Mm-hmm. He's not substance and accidents. And he goes all through these various distinctions that could be imposed upon God and denies them. And then the ultimate one is being essence and existence, right? Which is the most fundamental kind of composition of reality. And even that is denied of God. And so his essence is identical to his existence. And this is why the famous phrase of St. Thomas Aquinas is God is ipsum esse subsistens.
And every now and then I feel like I almost come to the edge of understanding what that means. It's just so hard.
Pure, unrestricted, unbounded being, subsistent being itself is basically what it refers to. Simple.
That cleared it up. Thanks. Thanks, Carlo. All right. Now, I deceived you before, Lisa, and I apologize for that. So if you need to use your Pig Latin lifeline again, you can, because I told you the last one was your last question, and it wasn't. We've got one more question to go. So, Lisa, here is your final question of rounds 1 and 2. Lisa, divine immutability means A, God cannot be seen by physical eyes, B, God does not have emotions, or C, God does not change. Lisa, divine immutability means A, God cannot be seen by physical eyes, B, God does not have emotions, or C, God does not change.
Well, if I'm allowed to use my lifeline again, I would love to hear Carlo give us the right answer in Pig Latin.
God bless you for that, Lisa. Thank you so much for making Carlo speak Pig Latin again.
Here we go. You ready?
I know this is going to start with Adge.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Ad gay, os day, at nay, hange. That's a hard one, man. Hangeke.
Okay. I'm going to.
Hangese.
You know what we need is we need a fourth grade girl who comes in and judges how he did, because they're so good at Pig Latin. We need to find ourselves. Mary, do you have any younger siblings who could do this? You have little girls in your family, right? Yeah. We're going to need a Pig Latin expert to come in here.
How was that for you, Lisa? Do I need to do it again?
Well, I've already forgotten what the answers were.
Okay, they were. God cannot be seen by physical eyes. God can. God does not have emotions. Or ad gay, as they not change.
Yeah, C.
All
right. Whew. Yeah.
God does not change?
I'm glad she did not miss it on my part, my inability for Pig Latin. Yes, God does not change. Speaking of the Fourth Lateran Council from 1215, one of those other attributes of God is that he is unchangeable. And this is in the Bible, Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. So this is something we can know by reason, but it's also something that divine revelation confirms through sacred scripture.
All right, final question to you, John. Which of these did Jesus say? A, if I speak with the tongues of angels but do not have love, I am a clanging gong. B, give to everyone who begs from you. Or C, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Which of these did Jesus say? If I speak with the tongues of angels but do not have love, I am a clanging gong. B, give to everyone who begs from you. Or C, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.
Well, since this is the last question, I have to hear it in Big Latin.
Oh, I'm so glad you left it to this one, too.
All right, here we go. You ready? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Ivege, mm-hmm. ote, veri one, hoe, exbe, rumfe. I like that one. Rumfe.
Exbe, rumfe.
Oue.
Did that do it for you, John?
I need to hear the answers again.
If I speak with the tongues of angels but do not have love, I am a clanging gong. Or give to everyone who exbe from you. Or my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.
I'm going with B.
B it is.
That is correct. Good job.
But I have heard someone say, if I speak with tongues of angels but do not have love, I'm a clanging gong.
That's St. Paul, 1 Corinthians, I think 13, right?
And I know somebody in the Bible said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.
The Blessed Virgin Mary, Luke 1.
All right, so give to everyone who begs. But that is hard, give to everyone who begs from you.
Yes.
That's hard teaching.
It is. Now, of course, we understand that Jesus is the Logos. He is pure reason itself. So that command is going to be within the boundaries of reason. So, yeah. For example, I can't give everything I have to someone who comes and knocks on my door because I also have other people that I must be giving to.
Right.
I have a duty to my wife and to my children, right? So reason has to govern and direct our giving to the poor. So we do have to exercise prudence. Jesus would not want us to leave reason at the door when we're following him in faith.
Marie, and super with the supercomputer, what's the score? Are we, she's supercomputing right now. And having a seance, I'm not sure what's going on. Is Marie having a seizure? We are tied at 5-5. Oh, that's what she's doing. She's telling me 5-5. I didn't know what she was doing with her hands. I thought we were getting into spiritualism for a second. Oh, no, we're tied 5-5. That means that in order to decide who's going on to final judgment, Lisa has to pick box A or box B.
We're going to leave it to chance.
We're going to leave it to chance. Lisa, go ahead, pick box A or B. I will open it, and inside it is a message that tells us who is going on.
Okay, I'm going to pick box B.
All right, Lisa, this is what box B says. Congratulations, you advance. That's what I'm going to show it to the internet so the internet can see.
All right.
John, I'm very sorry. You are, what's the word we use? The loser.
I'm going to let you say it.
Carlo's looking at me like, we're not going to say that, are we? Oh, no, you are not. You are a great contestant and a lot of fun, John. And we are going to send you what we call the entire Carlo Broussard Library. It involves these three books. Wow. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Belief, and Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. John, thanks. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure, my friend.
Are you sad or are you going to be okay?
I'll be okay. Congratulations, Lisa.
You are such a good sport.
Well, thank you, John.
Thank you very much, John. All right, Lisa. It's time for your final judgment, but we're going to let you prepare for your final judgment a little bit. We got to take a quick break. We will be right back for Lisa's final judgment right after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Game Show Edition. On the line, ready for her final judgment. Round three is called Final Judgment, is Lisa. And with us here in the studio is Carla Broussard. But here's the problem, Lisa. You got no lifelines now. You just got to tell me true or false, and that decides whether you got it. You ready for seven true or false questions?
I hope so.
I think so. I have a feeling that you are. Here's the deal when we're in Final Judgment. For each question that you are asked, you get to play for a prize. And so I'll tell you what the prize is before I ask the question, or after if I forget, which happens all the time. If you get all seven correct, then you get a free course in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. You get the course of your choice. So for question number one, you are playing for Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Here it is. Lisa, true or false? Jesus taught a hierarchical and sacramental religion. True or false? Jesus taught a hierarchical and sacramental religion.
That is true.
I am so happy because that's the hardest opening question I've ever done. I was looking at it going, I'm thinking, why did I make that question number one? You killed it. That's great.
Good job, Lisa. Yep. Well, we have the hierarchy revealed in Peter as the first pope in Matthew 16, 18 through 19. That's where Jesus establishes Peter as the foundational rock of the church, giving him the keys of the kingdom, all of which suggests hierarchy. And then the sacramental aspect of the Christian religion is Jesus tells the apostles in Matthew 28:19, go out in all nations, make disciples. How? Baptizing them.
Yep. Lisa, great job. All right. And for question number two, you are playing for our brand new book here from Father Sebastian Walsh, Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. Maybe you're going to have to give this to one of your handsome sons or beautiful daughters-in-law that you mentioned at the beginning, because clearly you've already accomplished that in their lives. But here is your question. True or false, Lisa? The church teaches that every means must be used to prolong and preserve the lives of the terminally ill. Lisa, true or false? The church teaches that every means must be used to prolong and preserve the lives of the terminally ill.
That's false.
Great job, Lisa.
No doubt on that one.
That's
she just
awesome.
Nailed that. Okay. Congratulations, you won the book.
Amen. The Catechism has a great little summary of that in paragraph 2278. It says, discontinuing medical procedures that are burdensome, dangerous, extraordinary, or disproportionate to the expected outcome can be legitimate. The discontinuing of those things can be legitimate. It is the refusal of overzealous, quote-unquote, treatment. So there you have a little nice, succinct teaching from the Catechism on that issue.
Yeah, I always think that's important, too, because at the end of life, it's important that you know the teaching of the church so that people are not burdened because you feel like you have no choice. And I think that's an important one. Lisa, great job. Now you're playing for Jimmy Akin's new book, The Words of Eternal Life. Question number three is for The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. Here it is for those playing at home. All right, Lisa, true or false? A Catholic priest can share what he hears in confession if it will prevent a crime. True or false, Lisa? A Catholic priest can share what he hears in confession if it will prevent a crime.
I think that's false.
That is correct. Good job, Lisa. Paragraph 1467, the Catechism teaches about the seal and states that this secret admits of no exceptions. So, good job, Lisa.
Don't tell that to the people in Australia, because we've got a focus episode in our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, Lisa, and it's about what's going on in Australia, where more and more laws are being enacted in which priests are required to reveal what they hear in confession. It's a very unjust, unfair, and really impractical thing that is being done in Australia. And if you want to hear that, just go to CatholicAnswersFocus.com and you can hear our conversation with Monica Dumit, a good friend of ours from Australia. All right, now you're playing for Meeting the Protestant Challenge on question number four. Meeting the Protestant Challenge is Carlo's second book. True or false? Where's question number four? What happened? Did I cut it off by accident? Okay, true or false, a sacramental marriage is eternal. Lisa, true or false? A sacramental marriage is eternal.
False.
Whoa, she's good.
Good job, Lisa. Yeah, because the bond, right, the sacramental bond lasts as long as both spouses are alive. And then the bond is no longer a reality when one of the spouses die. And we actually get this from St. Paul, Si. He writes in Romans 7:2, thus a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning her husband. So good job, Lisa. That was kind of a tricky question right there, and she got it right. And of course, Jesus himself says, you know, once we're in heaven in the afterlife, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage, for we'll be like the angels, he says.
I'm sorry that we're laughing here in the studio because I write these quizzes, and then I send them to Darren and Marie and Nick and Carlo to proofread them. And I didn't write a question number 4.
And nobody picked it up.
And nobody told me that there's no question number 4. That's why I had that reaction. So I'm on question number 7, let me just tell you, I'm going to be making something up on the fly. So whatever question number 7 is, it's whatever pops into my head on the fly. All right, question number 5. True or oh, wait, what's she playing for question number 5? Question number 5, you're playing for, oh, One Less God Than You, a great book answering atheists. Kind of slogans.
That's right.
From our good friend John DeRosa. You think the world of John DeRosa.
I sure do. He's a great friend of mine. He's a smart dude and I love him. He's a great guy. Got a great podcast too, Classical Theism.
And we just had him on. Also, another Focus episode, we had him on to defend classical theism.
That is correct.
All right. True or false? The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Holy Spirit. Lisa, true or false? The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit.
True.
St. Athanasius would be very happy to hear you say true.
Yes, good job, Lisa.
That's what we call, that's not
hard to follow.
That's not a full explication of the Trinity, but that's the beginning. You'd also have to get some more relations in there.
It's a basic articulation,
It's a basic articulation of what we mean by
all
the Trinity.
All three persons are God. They're identical to what we call the divine essence or the divine esse. They are all in one in being, one in substance, right? The same reality. But we do have a distinction of persons by way of their relationship to each other. Father is not the Son, Son is not the Father, Father and Son is not the Holy Spirit, yeah. The Holy Spirit is not the Father and Son. They are distinct by virtue of their relationship to each other.
It's okay to pause on that one, though, because whenever you're talking about the Trinity, it's best to take a breath and make sure you've got it all. So
we're proud of you, Lisa.
Lisa, you are marching right now. You are marching. Right now, Pope Peter from Joe Heschmeyer is your next. Another great one. I love Joe Heschmeyer.
He's amazing.
Shameless Popery. I had a little problem remembering. Shameless Popery is his website and just a super great guy. And he also made the most popular episode of our podcast Focus ever made, which I don't want to say the title because people take it wrong. But all right, what if Pope Francis is a bad pope? That was the name of it and like 70,000 people clicked on it.
Wow.
Yeah. True or false, Lisa? The Jews believed that we should love God and love our neighbor long before Jesus was born. True or false, Lisa? The Jews believed that we should love God and love our neighbor long before Jesus was born.
That's true.
Amen. Good job. Yeah, Deuteronomy 6:5, you have the great Shema, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord.
Wait, is that a question that you're giving me to ask? Is that why you guys wrote that there? Oh, I got it. Oh, I see. It is a question. Okay, I got it. Oh, they wrote a true or false question for me. Oh, I get it. It's good. Okay. Why don't you guys help me when I'm working on these during the week? Why? Like, the only way I can get you to write a question. Okay, Lisa, your last one. And by the way, you're playing for a book called Purgatory is for Real. Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet by Carlo Broussard. Available now at shop.catholic.com. And that's part of the title, by the way. Available now at shop.catholic.com is part of the title. Lisa, true or false, green is the liturgical color of Lent. Lisa, true or false, green is the liturgical color of Lent.
That is false.
Good job.
What's
she
up?
Knows,
I need some cheering. There we go. We let the audience applaud. Thank you all. Yeah.
Great job,
all right,
Lisa.
Quiet down. Quiet down, audience. Okay, you can come back. Audience, go ahead. Give her another hand. Quiet down. Quiet down, audience. Wow, there's a lot of people in here with us. Lisa, you did it. You
was
got all
seven
right. You got all seven prizes.
Awesome.
And you won a free course that you clearly do not need in the Catholic Answer School of Apologetics. Congratulations, Lisa.
Well, thank you so much. This has been great fun.
It's been a lot
indeed,
of fun to
has.
Have you here. Yeah, yeah. And you've been a good sport and a lot of fun. And even when I messed up on the count, and I messed up on a lot of stuff with you, Lisa, but you did great. All right, I'm going to give you a bonus question. True or false, Lisa? True or false? And there's no prize for this except for me. You don't get a prize. I just get a prize, and you'll see why I get a prize. True or false, the host of this program has a new book coming out about Jesus in April. True or false, Lisa, the host of this program, who goes by the name Cy Kellett, has a new book about Jesus coming out in April.
True?
That is true, Lisa. And so you see, the prize that I get is we just did a little advertisement for my book, which you can now pre-order at shop.catholic.com. Pre-order now at shop.catholic.com. Awesome. Will you say where you live again? I know it's Green something.
Green County, Tennessee.
Green County, Tennessee. All right. Green. I just like it. Uh-huh. Green County. Is that horse country or no?
No. No, I don't think it's known for horses now.
No.
It's we're in the Appalachian Mountains, so it's beautiful. Beautiful mountain country.
Oh, wow. It is. Okay, so then not horses, but probably moonshine.
Yes.
Okay. Sure. I see. I know my Appalachia. Well, thank you so much. We're going to let you go. And then you know where to send her prizes to? You know where to send them? All right. Just send them to the post office in Greene County. Write Lisa on it. She'll get them. Carlo, thanks. Really enjoyed having you on again.
You're welcome, Si. Thanks for having me. It was fun, man. I had a good time.
Yep.
I'm just digging this
crazy look,
shirt, man, that you got on. Like you're ready to just hunker down. You're in the gym. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of myself in the mornings when I wake up at 5 in the morning to do my writing.
Oh.
And like when I'm working on a book, which I am right now, hint, hint, I put my sweatshirt on and I get my hoodie on.
Do you really?
And I get in the zone, baby.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I start writing.
Because
sometimes it's like freezing in the morning.
I do the same thing at 5, but I hit the heavy bag. That's what No, I'm serious. I hit the heavy bag.
Now that is hilarious.
If you know me, it is kind of hilarious. But the reason I have the hoodie on is because I am not allowed to wear what I want to wear. See that fine young woman right there running the video camera? Her dad is John Versillo. He's the head of the video department.
Right.
And he told me I have to wear a certain high-class kind of clothing. But during the game show, I can wear whatever I want because it's not going to be used again. It's not going to be used in, you know, like taking clips out and putting them on the internet. So I can wear whatever. So I have the crazy hoodie on.
Cool, man.
Mary, are you going to tell your dad about this? You going to tell your dad about what I wore? Oh, he can just watch it, she said. Thank you, Mary. Hey, Mary, thank you very much for the fine video work. Marie, thank you very much for getting the contestants. By the way, if you want to be a contestant on the game show, I'm always supposed to say this, and I forget to say it, but now that I'm saying thank you to Marie, you just joined the radio club, and you are eligible to become a contestant. If you tell us that you want to be, if you're a radio club member and you tell us you want to be on the game show, then that makes it even more likely because you go into the pot of people. The way you join a radio club is you go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com, and you scroll down, and you give us your email address, and then you get free stuff. CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Darren, thank you very much. Other than a minor thing we're going to have a meeting about later, that was great on the audio. Nice job. Thomas. Oh, Thomas is asleep. Okay, Thomas, you do good work. Carlo Broussard, thank you.
You're welcome, Cy. Thanks for having me, brother.
I want to recommend again Carlo's book. It's nice. A couple people said they were reading your book.
Yeah,
like in the
cool.
first hour, somebody said, and I think second hour did.
Yeah, praise God.
Purgatory is for real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet. It's one of those things that we should be meditating on, those things that come after death, because now is our time to prepare for them and to know them and to draw closer to the Lord so that we are ready when the time comes for our final judgments. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I am so sad. I got to go home now, but I got to.
You got a beautiful wife to go to, brother.
That's true. And you know what else?
Got
Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. We'll see you next time. Catholic Answers Live.